he goes and gets wings and throws them on the board.
Yeah, listen, man, this guy's breaking barriers down.
You're listening to Leafs Lunch with Julia Tucheri and Michael DeStefano on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Leafs Lunch is brought to you in part by 2-for-1 Tuesday. It's 2-for-1 Pizza, rather. It's 2-for-1 Tuesday right now. What a treat. Order a regular price pizza from the Create Your Own menu and get a second pizza of the same or lesser value for free.
Didn't that feel like circus music?
Yeah, that was wild. I didn't know what was going on. I thought there was like a bit that was about to happen. I wasn't sure what was the 4-on-1, but I was
into
it.
Well, maybe it's a little foresight into the circus that might be on our airwaves on TSN4 tonight during the panel.
We love a good clown show. It's always the best.
It could be. It might end up being one. Jeff O'Neill's going to join us in a couple of minutes. Host of Overdrive and also going to be co-hosting the Leafs panel tonight with the OD boys. And man, that's going to be
Who's on Overdrive today?
So I believe, if I'm not mistaken,
I put you on the spot.
Well, I think, is Taddy, Mark Rowe hosting? Yeah, Rowe Corrado and Dave Festchuk.
Nice, it's a good squad. Good squad, I like it.
Yeah, it'll be good show, and then, but the OD boys, that is what's going to be interesting. So I was reading Mark Masters' piece yesterday. He sends out this great little newsletter.
It's the best thing in the world.
It honestly is, and like, thank you so much, Mark Masters.
Yep.
The amount of research that guy does.
A king.
Saves us a lot of time.
Yep.
Because we just read the notes. Like, perfect. Got a lot of information there from Marky Mark. But a little tidbit that he put in his notes piece is, you know, Matthews only has 4 goals in 14 career games against the Pittsburgh Penguins, which is the lowest total against any Eastern Conference opponent. And Marner only has 1 goal against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's so weird.
So we're hoping that these two in particular, along with Nylander and Tavares, can explode tonight and can help, you know, weather some of the defensive and goaltending deficiencies of this team. Yet there's a long track record of these guys struggling against the Pittsburgh Penguins in general.
Yeah, there is.
Slight concern.
In Pittsburgh specifically as well. So it's kind of like an interesting storm of things that is happening. But maybe it's what they need, AB. Kyle Dubas, I thought, had an interesting quote yesterday when he was talking about the early season adversity and how things haven't gone according to plan as of the start of the season. And maybe sometimes that's a good thing for teams because you learn a lot about yourself in adverse situations. Though I'm not sure thus far what we've learned exactly about the Leafs.
Well, I think we have that clip there if we want to play it, talking about the adversity that the team has gone through and what he's liked about the team. So why don't I play that here? This was Kyle Dubas yesterday about the adversity that the club has faced to this point this season.
It may come off as strange, but I personally, I think going through these types of things, whether it's injury, whether it's poor play, that results in some consternation about, you know, where we're at. I think it's for me, in my role with the team, Mark, I think it's a very positive thing. You learn a lot about the people that you're with day in and day out. You learn who can handle it, who may not be able to. And I think, you know, coming back off that Western road trip where we did not play well, I thought our guys did an excellent job here the whole week at home in getting ready to roll and putting together a really good week. And then last week, you know, on the Saturday night going into the second period, we're down again, and rather than let that start to snowball, they dig in and find their way. So that to me is very encouraging.
Yeah, there's been some encouraging signs, AB. I don't know how to say this eloquently, and I was talking to you about it during the break. I'm kind of just getting tired of encouraging. I'm ready to see the offensive onslaught that we've been treated to the past couple years.
You know, it's been a little bit... So, like, last year, there was a lot of similar storylines, right? It was a slow start to the season.
I also didn't realize that Matthews and Marner were... Of course, this is from Mark's notes, better than any Spark notes I used in high school, that they were split up for 10 games to start last season as well, in that ugly stretch. I didn't realize that it was that long, is what I meant.
Yeah, because I do recall Sheldon Keefe coming out and saying, I think it was like around the Islanders game, for some reason I remember that particularly, where they really split things up. And he said, I look at things differently. Like, you guys, you the media, look at stretches of the season as you know, this homestand or like five game stretches. He puts the season in 10 game segments.
Yeah.
Right? So it made sense that he's willing to split things up for 10 games just to give people a proper look at things.
Right.
Which is funny because I don't feel like he's done that this year. He's been very, very quick to make in game adjustments, game to game adjustments. He hasn't let things kind of develop a whole lot
this
season.
You're right, but there hasn't been much. It's kind of a chicken egg. It's an argument like that.
But could that be the reason why maybe they're not like scoring? Because there is so much turnover from line to line, like from game to game. I mean, the top line had a good stretch there with Bunting, Matthews, and Marner. It's only been the last like couple weeks that they've really taken each other off of each other's lines. Bunting in particular, I guess, came off a little bit earlier, but that second line hasn't had a whole lot of consistency, whether they were sitting there and it was Kerfoot at times, it was Nick Robertson at times. You know, like they've gone through a couple of situations. Geno Malgin started there. He's had a couple of looks on that second line. I wonder if maybe the inconsistencies of the lineup could be factoring into the fact, probably not the
all
best
right,
way
give
to say
it,
that.
Give it to me.
The fact that they haven't been able to find that chemistry and you know, really get their legs under them as a group, potentially.
I've thought about that, too, and how maybe, I don't know, poor Sheldon Keefe is doing what he can. Like, Dreger said he was coaching his ass off, and that's what we've seen from him. Like, he's really throwing everything at the wall. But I think you're right in thinking that maybe there's a risk that you take of throwing things so out of balance. I took note of the fact that Kyle Dubas made a point of saying that everything Sheldon Keefe does has a purpose. Like, he's so directed and purposeful in everything that he does. And maybe that was a little bit of a shield from the question that we're asking. Is he doing too much?
Yeah, he does. I mean, whenever he speaks to, he talks about playing with purpose.
You could tell that the gears are moving whenever Sheldon Keefe is talking too. Maybe it's because it's like, all right, buddy, there's like 18 people listening to you right now, and every word you say is getting dissected. So make sure that you're talking slowly and everything that comes out of your mouth is purposeful.
That is very true. That could also be the case. Just everything gets dissected, insanely whenever anyone in Leafs media or Leafs brass speaks. Maybe we'll get O-Dog on in a couple of minutes, but I think he's, we're trying to get at. He's doing his pregame routine. You know,
is O-Dog gassing us?
Pre-game routine. I don't think he's gassing us. I would hope he's not gassing us. I just think he's really zoning in on the game.
I like it. I like it.
Right?
Very. I saw he was putting up polls this morning. He's getting the people engaged.
So, yeah, he put up a poll. Who's under more pressure tonight? Hazy B being the host on the panel for the first time ever.
I can't believe everybody's acting like Hazy B is some rook show. Like, Hazy B doesn't host on TV, technically, every day. Was like, I know it's different.
But it's so different. Like, it's so different.
I know.
I mean, you do both, right? Yeah. Like, you dabble in TV and in radio. Like, last year when you did the CHL panels, how different? Like, you've been there. You've had that experience. How
it's just
different
a little stickier, and you just got a little bit less time. I think the hosting position is very similar, though.
You know what I think is? But
the analysis is very different. You just got to keep people on the rails.
And that's the tough part, right? Because in radio, you can let, you let O-Dog go off for, like, 45 seconds. He can go out for a minute and a half, 2 minute rant if he really wants to.
Yeah.
You can't do that in TV, and you got to be able to shorten people up. And if they're going a little too long-winded, like, can you reach in there? Like, you're hearing the talk back 10, 9, 8. You got to hit that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
right.
That's going to be the biggest challenge for him, I think. There's some loose outs in when it comes to radio, but when it comes to TV, you got to hit that.
You got to hit him.
Right on the
post. You
got to
hit him.
Right on the post.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Leafs Penguins tonight. You go see the Overdrive guys on that panel tonight on TSN 4. You can listen to it on TSN 1050. Matthews and Marner will remain split up. AB, we talked about it just earlier in this segment, the fact that Matthews and Marner were split up for a pretty good stretch of time last year and wound up finding their legs. And Mitch Marner was talking yesterday about the differences between playing with Matthews and playing with John Tavares. This is what he had to say.
Put both in a lot of scenarios around the net. Just got a good chance of scoring. So for me, it's trying to find Johnny in those areas. For me, it's trying to find my way through the neutral with the puck a little more, maybe, and trying to find speed off the rush and trying to find him in spots where he's coming in later, you know, going backside and stuff like that. And I don't think much changes. They've got a lot of skill in both of them. They can make a lot of great plays and can take people on one-on-one. So it's not really surprising when one of them have the puck and do something spectacular.
Yeah, it's not. Imagine going from Austin Matthews to John Tavares. It's a pretty good buffet you've got there.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, there's, you know, a bit of a drop off, but the way that, I mean, John Tavares, I feel like the last couple of weeks we haven't talked about him as much as we were earlier on in the season, but like he's still operating at an unbelievable rate right now. And now he's being linked back up with his old pal Mitch Marner, Mitchie Marnsauce, as I used to call him back in the day, where he was teeing up Tavares for 47 goal seasons. And I like the thought process here of splitting those two up, simply because I think that there's chemistry with the other guys anyway.
Yeah.
Like if there wasn't that previous chemistry, maybe you would be like, why don't you keep those guys together? Eventually they'll find their game. And I think eventually they would, but when you know that other stuff works, why not go for it? Why not try it? And then, as we talked about in the first hour, you know, going into Pittsburgh, it's somewhat of a matchup-based thing anyways, because they're going to be able to match up. And now you got to think about it. When you're splitting up your stars, you're splitting up into two top-end lines. Now you got to think, okay, who are we going to match up with our shutdown line?
Yeah.
Which shutdown pair are we going to put on either Matthews or on Marner's line? Because now they're split up.
Yeah.
So it really is going to make the Pittsburgh Penguins and Mike Sullivan think about how he's going to game plan playing the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
Yeah, but here's the thing, AB. They did such a good job of it on Friday night. Like, do you just recycle that tape? I didn't think Toronto had a terrible... What did you think of... We haven't broken this down.
Realistically, the game winner was tough by Sjogren, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was a 2-2 game.
But what did you think of Toronto's game as a whole?
I thought that they were fine. Like, I didn't think they necessarily took advantage of Pittsburgh. They didn't go in and look at a team that had lost, I think it was, what, six of their last seven or
Like, I know that eight. Last goal wasn't great. I know Sjogren was hard on himself as a result of the game winner. But yeah. I wouldn't point at that game and say, oh, yeah, the goalie lost that game.
But that's why the importance of scoring is so...
Exactly. Like they did not have... Goals. When Kyle Dubas says, I like the way that they battle in adversity, you learn things about teams when they're in certain situations. They were in a position to win that game on Friday night. It was a very close game, and they I said yesterday, I don't even think they had one moment in the third period where I thought to myself, this team is really pushing, they might score right now. It's not very promising to me.
No, it's not.
It wasn't on Friday. The Saturday game was kind of like a little palate cleanser.
But it got there later, right? Like the first period, they didn't start on time. Down 2-0, and then it took until like the midway through the second to really start to get things going. Then once they did, you saw those waves shift upon shift, and they ended up leading to goals. Next thing you know, they were up 3-2.
Yeah. Right?
Like it was very quick how they went from, you know, being down, then they got their legs under them, and then boom, next thing you know, it's 3-2, and they're able to lock it down and win that hockey game in the third period. Tonight, I think they're just going to have to go out there, and they're going to have to try and limit those guys as much as possible. But at the end of the day, again, just they got to start scoring goals, and it's those big boys that are going to have to do it. I know it would sound like a broken record here, but that's ultimately going to be what we're looking for tonight.
Like, we got 2 hours, AB, every day to talk about the Leafs, but point blank, if Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and John Tavares and William Nylander don't start scoring at the exciting pace that we're used to, this isn't the Leaf team that they're supposed to be.
They're averaging 2.8 goals per game, which is 23rd in the
terrible.
National Hockey League.
That's terrible for a team that's built around the premise of your offensive prowess could outscore your mistakes. It's essentially the way that the Leafs are built, and they're not scoring. They're not holding up their end of the bargain right now. I feel like I spend half of the time when we have a guest on right now thinking of a smart way to ask the question, why aren't they scoring more goals? And it's purely an eye test. Like, where is the magic that we're used to seeing? And it's purely an eye test thing.
Well, and
numbers, I guess, because physically they're not putting up goals, but you could look at Austin and Mitch right now and say, there's just a little bit of swag missing.
Let me look up, because Jonas Siegel wrote about
swag
this,
per
actually.
60?
Swag per 60? Is that the new stat that we're going to bring up?
Yes, sir.
But, like, Jonas wrote a piece the other day. I think it was in the decision to split them up, or it was maybe in his Monday morning report, but talking about Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, and comparing last year to this year and how things have gone, and everything's down. Scoring chances, goals themselves, expected numbers, Corsi percentage, the shot share, everything so far is down. They're allowing more goals than they did a year ago when they're out there on the ice. It just hasn't worked for whatever reason. So going into tonight's game, splitting them up, or I guess they split them up in the last game in Vancouver, but keeping them split for a good segment. I don't know how long it'll be. I would imagine that we'll get them back together at some point in the next couple of weeks. But for now, maybe they need to spend a little time apart and realize, how good they had it when they were together.
Yeah.
Like, realistically, I don't know. But hopefully they can find some chemistry with their new line mates tonight and get it going in Pittsburgh. All right, so let's take a quick break. On the other side, we'll see if we can get the O-Dog back on the line. If not, we got some panic or pause ready to get into. So we'll do that next here on Leafs Lunch.
This is Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Question is, and this is the only question,
is this panic becoming global?
Can we just hit the pause button here for a second?
Press pause and you're tired of the same thing. Press pause and the struggles that you're facing.
Leafs Lunch is brought to you by Vanilla Visa prepaid cards available at Petro-Canada, the perfect gift for any occasion. Okay, panic or pause, AB? We haven't done this one before. It's fun, it's new, it's fresh.
Did you not do this when we were... Were you away when we did this? We did this one other time. It didn't have the sting, though, so maybe that's why it didn't...
I don't think I was here. Maybe it's when I had the plague.
Maybe it's when you had the plague. But we did do this one other time. But we're going to be joined by intern Matt, who actually has the questions for us.
Okay.
And we got to decide, are we panicking over these, or are we putting the pause button because it's not... You know, it's not the end of the world on whatever it's a stat or whatever it is. So intern Matt, hop on the mic. How's it going, buddy?
It's going fantastic. Thanks for having me today, guys.
Absolutely. So why don't we start off here? Give us the first one, and we got to decide whether we're hitting the panic button or the pause button.
Alrighty. So Leafs currently sitting 23rd in the league, scoring just 2.81 goals per game at the moment. So where does this rank on your panic meter?
Ugh. Panicking.
5 games ago, it would have been so easy for me to hit pause on this one. But now I'm pausing before I hit pause, if you will, AB. Because I'm starting... I know you can't be fully concerned about the scoring for this team, but I feel like this ties in pretty well to what we've been talking about quite a bit on this show, is that this team is supposed to score a lot of goals. They're not doing that right now. Clearly, if we're talking about this question, 23rd in the league. When it comes to scoring, I'm kind of starting to panic. A couple weeks ago, it would have been a really easy pause, but I'm starting to panic a little.
I'll tell you why I'm also panicking. It's not just like I
you know what's really
pausing.
Funny? Wait, we have to pause this panic or pause for a second.
Okay.
The way that you and I, with a dead straight face, say I'm panicking, and you say I'm panicking too, and there's no panic in our voices.
Well,
I don't know why. It's hilarious.
What do you want me to do?
That is an underrated part about this segment. I think we need an alarm. Like, there needs to be more panic involved in this segment.
Yeah,
okay. Anyways, continuing.
We'll get an alarm for the next time
Thank you.
It. But I do believe that there's some reason to panic here. I mean, will they figure it out? Most likely. But the difference between last year and this year is that, like we alluded to just prior, they were at least getting the looks, and they looked better while the process was unfolding until eventually those goals started to drop. They're not necessarily looking as profound as it did a year ago.
That's
like
what's
the eye test isn't necessarily matching up and doesn't look as glorious.
Not
as
necessarily,
it did a season
just
ago.
Not. Like, just not matching up with it.
No, and that's why it's a little bit of a panic for me. Like, they're not getting the looks that they were a year ago. They're not dominating the possession game like they were. They're not getting the high danger opportunities like they were a year ago. And for this, the scoring has been down. And, you know, I think we're getting to a point where American Thanksgiving is like a week away. And, yeah, it's starting to become a concern. So, yeah, I think there's some reason to panic here.
There's validity to
panicking.
We got to
get some scoring, not only from the depth, but the big boys. We still only have 3 goals from the back end, and 2 of them came from Timothy Liljegren in 1 game. I think it was his first game back, was it not?
Yeah.
Like, what a return for him.
Yeah.
And since then, like, they're just not getting the scoring that they need. So, absolutely, if this team's going to average 2.8 goals per game.
They're not going to win very many.
They're not going to win a lot of games because the way that their blue line's constructed, the goaltending is, they got to score a lot of goals to outscore some of those deficiencies that they have. And 2.8 goals per game is not going to cut it for a team looking to win a Stanley Cup. So, yeah. Definitely, I think I'm hitting the panic button.
Yeah, we're gingerly hitting the panic button. I'm not slamming it down like with both hands or anything, like an eject button. But I'm ready to press it.
I'm putting one finger touch on that thing.
Yep,
one finger, boop,
like a touch screen type of thing.
It's like a little panic, but not completely. Oh no, this team is in trouble.
Okay,
I agree. All right, Matt, what's the next one here?
Next up, we got Mitch Marner currently leading the team in 5v5 points at the moment, but has only managed to grab a single assist on a Matthews 5v5 goal. Pausing or panicking with the duo's play together?
This one seems pretty similar to the first one, but I feel less... I hate to doubt these two because they always seem to figure it out, and it's November 15th, and maybe one day we'll zoom back on this week and we'll think, wow, they got it on the rails because that's what happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm panicking less about this than I'm panicking about team scoring, I think, AB. But it's still concerning.
I would say it's concerning. So I pulled up the stats for Matthews and Marner together that Jonas Siegel provided in his Monday morning Leaf report on The Athletic. You can go and take a read for the full details of what he had to say. But he did compare last year to this year so far. So shots per 60, last season they were averaging 38 shots on goal per 60 minutes. This year it's down to 29 shots. There have six more shots against per 60 minutes with those two out on the ice. Their attempts are down. Their shot attempts against are up. And then the goals, this is where it's most concerning. Last year, 4.9 goals per game between that duo. This year, 2.3 goals per game. So it's gone down significantly. I'm going to hit the pause button right now because, again, I think that last year it was the second half of the season where the team really got going and where that duo and trio, if we toss in Michael Bunting, really picked it up and went on that surge, becoming one of the best lines in hockey we were talking about at times. So I'll hit the pause button on that one right now. But there is some slight concerns there that the underlying numbers don't look great when last year they were some of the best in the league. Hasn't been the case this season.
Okay, I'm in the same boat. All right, intern Matt, let's make it happen. One more here?
Yeah, we can do one more.
We got Nick Robertson, a healthy scratch again for the Maple Leafs tonight. Are we pausing or panicking with this rookie after coming out of the gate hot in his debut?
So I'm not panicking about Nick Robertson's production as much as I'm panicking.
Development.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not panicked about his production. He's a goal scorer. We've seen the flashes of what he can do, but he's played very little hockey in the last 2 years. I'm panicking about the way that he's being managed. I don't want Nick Robertson. If Nick Robertson winds up being a trade chip for a top four defenseman, if something like that ends up happening, I guess that's fine. But I'm mostly panicking about the player. I don't want him to wind up being someone that we look at as the one that got away as a result of mismanaging his development.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a pause button. Send him to the minors.
It's a pause button for me. It's a pause button for me. It's been a couple games. He hasn't earned himself the right to, like, this is the National Hockey League. At the end of the day,
send him to the American Hockey League.
I agree with that. Agree with that. They should send him to the American League. But, like, am I panicking that this guy's development is being completely derailed? Like, I'm not panicking on that.
I'm panicking about it because it's a culmination of the last 3 years. Like, he hasn't played any hockey in the last 3 years. So maybe I'm not panicking about a couple scratches this season, but he has not played enough hockey.
How has he looked to you this year, though, so far? Has he given you, besides, so the first game he was outstanding.
He popped.
Really did pop. Scored two goals against his brother, game winner in overtime, all that. Terrific. Since then, I really haven't seen much out of him.
But here's the thing. Who's popped to you? Liljegren in that one game. Robertson in that one game. Yeah, every once in a while, a move from Matthew. Like, is Yarncroc popping off the page at you? Is Engvall pops off the page at me sometimes when I watch him go into the corner and my eyes fall out of my head.
But not in a good way.
No, not in a good way.
In a good way.
Sometimes he does. I don't mean that. Sorry, Pierre. I didn't mean to be rude.
Hey, he had a really good game.
He did. He did. Okay? That was rude of me, and I take it back. But you know what I mean? It's just that nobody's popped thus far, and if there's anybody that needs to get into games.
Gino's popped.
Oh, that's true. That's
you know,
a good
Mulligan's
point.
Been a nice little pop
that's a great
so
point.
Far, right?
That's a great point.
But that's isn't that sad, though? Like, that's the player who we're trying to think
it's
of.
Tragic.
Who's popped so far? Who's had a good level of consistency for, like, a 4 or 5 game string? And we landed on Dennis Gino Mulligan.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
That's
yeah,
where
that's
we are.
A tragedy.
With this team. That's why we sit here and we're, every day, it's like, come on, the big boys got to get it going.
I just, every day, like, I feel like my job has become trying to find a sexier way to say, why are they not scoring? Why don't they look like they do last year? There's no really sexy way to say that.
Yeah, but Nick Robertson, I guess, to get back to him, like, yeah, he hasn't popped. I guess you're correct. There hasn't been a whole lot of people popping off, so maybe is he the one that should be taken out of the lineup? Maybe not, but I think that it goes to show that there's not a high level of trust there right now from
yeah.
Sheldon Keefe, in particular, probably on the when he doesn't have the puck. But I'm hitting the pause button. He's still a super, super young kid. He's got a long way to go
yeah.
to become a bona fide everyday NHLer, and I think eventually he will get there. But I think we're both in the same boat. If you're not going to play him in the National Hockey League, send him down to the American League, get him some games, let him play some top
yes.
6 minutes, and rip it up down there. Sitting in the
commit
press box.
Commit to doing that, then.
Practicing. It doesn't necessarily... I don't think it's working for the kid.
Talking about practice.
Much. Talking about practice. Practice. We're talking about practice here, JT. All right. I think we did get a hold
the
of
elusive.
The O-Dog. I believe we did get a hold of him. I don't know if he was munching on a sandwich, maybe a chicken parm or something like that, and he just couldn't take his phone out because he potentially got some sauce on his mitts. I
right.
don't know. Didn't want to get the suit.
I don't know how you came up with that story immediately, but let's see what
he
was
up to.
Because
I know this guy likes himself a good chicken parm sandwich.
Okay, okay.
Loves himself a chicken parm. It's lunchtime. Why not? I'd love to munch on one of those right now. All right. So O-Dog should be joining us on the other side. We'll also do a little quick school degeneracy as well in the next segment with the Leafs and Penguins taking on each other on TSN 1050 tonight and on TSN 4, where the O-Dog will be joined by his fellow OD members, Jamie Noodles McLennan and Brian Hayes. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll chat about it next here on Leafs Lunch.
Matthews has done it again!
Now, back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Leafs Lunch is brought to you by Vanilla Visa prepaid cards available at Petro Canada, the perfect gift for any occasion. And tonight, the Leafs have the Penguins in Pittsburgh. Should be a good one because the Overdrive guys are on the panel. And right now, we have the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, one of our favorites, and apparently TikTok's favorite too. O-Dog, what do you think, man?
I actually don't think much of it. I don't have TikTok. I'm too old for TikTok, and... It was pretty funny, though. It was a cool video.
She's an electric storyteller, I will say that. She tells an amazing story.
She should be in some kind of, I don't know what she should be in, some kind of documentary or comedy or talk soup. I don't know, but she should be in it.
Oh, yeah. So I know you're not a big TikTok guy, but let's say we have another, like, immaculate week. Will you hit the gritty with me on TikTok?
What is hit the gritty?
I knew you weren't going to know what that was. I knew you were going to. You don't know what the gritty was?
I'm 46 years old. No, what does hit the gritty mean?
Roberto Luongo hit the gritty after he scored in the game. I don't know. It's like I don't even know how to describe it.
Now you have to sit here and describe it.
It's a dance where you kind of do a little gallop. You like.
Take a video and send it to him after.
I'll have to send it to you. But we're going to hit the gritty at some point this year. We're going to dunk on Hayes and hit the gritty.
Of all the videos anyone on Earth could send me, I do not need you to send me a video of yourself dancing. Your partner in crime there already today asked me one of the most ridiculous questions.
Oh, my God. That
I don't want to get into it. Not saying it's as bad, but I don't need you to back that up with you dancing video.
All right.
Honestly, we're the rogue ones today. We have been the problems today.
What does that even mean?
You and I was sending weird questions before this. You're going to send him videos doing the gritty. Like, we're the problem.
Gotcha. We're chatting with O-Dog, Overdrive co-host, and he'll be on the panel tonight. All the Overdrive boys will be on the panel. Noodles with his brand new Shiner, which I anticipate will be chatted about right off the top, along with Brian Hayes making his, I guess, debut on the Leafs panel. I mean, how do you expect that to go for Hazy B? What's your level of concern that tonight kind of goes off the rails?
The only way I can describe it, Al's brother, is, I mean, over my last 30 years of my life, I've gotten to meet a couple of comedians, and it's almost like going to one of their shows, but you're confident that you know that they're funny because they're so established. But on the other hand, you're like, God, I hope they're funny because I don't want to be in the crowd if somebody thinks it's stupid.
Yeah.
And I kind of have that feeling. I know he's going to be good, and he's not. He's generally like, instead of somebody being like, oh, you know, like calling you 10 times and what about this or what about that, Brian's the kind of guy, and he's such a great guy. He's always like, I got this. Don't even worry about it. So that attitude is kind of saving my anxiousness. Because he's always just been, yeah, well, just do it. I mean, I did a Leaf radio game with him. I don't think he'd ever done it before, and he did it with his eyes closed. So he's just a natural. The guy's a super talent, and I'm pretty confident that he'll get the job done. Problem is, what if it's really good? What if it's really good and
yeah.
makes somebody think about it? As good as Duffy is, you never know.
You never know. It could end up getting Wally pipped, and then we'll be looking for someone new to fill the shoes on OD. And
Duffy
oh, man.
Duffy will be doing a podcast in Qatar. Duffy will just stay in Qatar and do a podcast.
A soccer one.
Staying here. That's it. We're staying in Qatar.
Yeah.
In conversation.
Yeah, soccer podcast.
Absolutely. In conversation with the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Ghost of Overdrive. So tonight, Leafs-Pens should be a pretty good game. They obviously just played the other night on Friday. I mean, what do you think's the likelihood that our guy, Gino Malgin, can outperform Gino Malkin on the ice tonight?
0%. He better play better than he did the last game against the Penguins. If you remember the McGinn goal, he was carrying the puck up the neutral zone, and he coughed it up, and that led to the goal, so... I don't know what happened to that Gino Malgin. I'll tell you the fascinating story, and it's the guy in net, because I have no idea what to expect. I have no idea what to expect, and it's just, I so want for goaltending to be solidified and not have to talk about it anymore. I'm sure you guys have heard my rants over the last 5 years, especially in this city, dealing with the injuries to the goaltenders. It drives me nuts. And it always drives me nuts because Shesterkin and Hellebuck and Vasilevskiy are never hurt. It's all these other guys that are always hurt, and I just have bad vibes about it. I'm not going to get into what I really think about it, but I just want the goaltending just to be solidified. And it's the double whammy for Matt Murray. He's got to stay healthy and find a way to be healthy. Like, I'm anxious to watch him finish this game. Like, if anyone goes near him, I'm going to be like, is he done? Like, is he done for the period? Is he done for the game? And then at what point does Toronto just say, we can't keep doing this?
Yeah.
It's just like the boyfriend that keeps doing stupid stuff. It's like, how long can you keep doing it? I'm not sure.
I was anxious about Morning Skate, but that went well, and he will get the start tonight in Pittsburgh.
Imagine that. Imagine wondering if this guy's going to skate off the ice after Morning Skate. That's absurd.
Yeah. You think it's worse or better that he's going to get in for the first time versus his old team?
Julia, I really don't care who it's against. If it was in the minors, if it's in Toronto, in Pittsburgh, I want him to play well, and I want him to be healthy. And the likelihood of those two things happening moving forward, I got to say, it's probably not very good, but I desperately want it to happen because I'm honestly sick and tired of talking about Freddie Anderson. Where's he at? Is he good enough? Can he play? Does he want to play? Then Jack Campbell and Peter Mrazek. And this guy's, like, the goaltending injuries have driven me nuts over the last 5 years. It might even date back further than that, but I just find it takes up too much of my oxygen, and I like my oxygen. I want it to go somewhere else. I want to talk about something else.
All right, well, we'll move on.
We'll see what happens, but I'll be fascinated. I'm sure Noodles is going to be locked in on him to see what he's got cooking in net. It's going to be a fascinating storyline tonight.
It definitely will be. Like, that's storyline number one. And one of the other storylines that I think is taking up a lot of oxygen, at least on this show, we were just talking about it about 10 minutes before he came on, is just the lack of scoring from this team. I mean, you could get a decent goaltending performance, but when you're only putting one, two pucks in the back of the net, you're not going to win a whole lot of hockey games, which has been the case with this team for a lot of the games this season. I mean, when you look at the first, you know, month or so of the season so far, what sticks out to you as to why this team isn't quite getting that offense that we all thought we would see based off of what happened with them a year ago?
I think just really not being connected, Al's brother. I mean, it's one night it's kind of Marner that has a night, and then it's JT with a spectacular couple goals, and then it might be William Nylander. And the whole idea of those guys and making the money they make is kind of overpowering or overwhelming the opposition because they're so good, and that's what the Leafs offer. That's what you want the opposition to say when they come to town is, we got to be able to handle these guys. And right now, up to this point, it really hasn't been that difficult. It's been one of the four or two of the four. And obviously you can't have everybody going every night, but that's kind of the idea. And one other storyline going into this building, guys, it's been a house of horrors in Pittsburgh the last couple of years. I mean, they got dummied by an AHL team, I believe it was last year.
Yep.
The Babcock game was possibly a year or two before that. So they've had some ugly ones in there where they've just been absolute blowouts. So, but AZB's hosting, so all positive, and things should change tonight.
Yeah, we're hoping for good vibes tonight, too. What do you think it's going to take, O-Dog, for the scoring to really see an uptick? You think tonight would be the kind of night in the House of Horrors you just mentioned in Pittsburgh?
Well, I think, Julia, the Pittsburgh Penguins, although they're known as Letang, Crosby, Malkin, offensive players, they really want to test your will to see if you want to compete in a tight hockey game. So when that happens, if you want to do the old cheaty cheat Denny Malgin at the blue line and make a stupid play, they're going to make you pay for it. So although everyone talks, and when you talk about the Penguins, it's Crosby and all the fancy stuff and the goals and assists, they know how to win. They have not played well up to this point. But they want to see if you want to compete for 60 minutes and are committed to a 2-1 hockey game, because then you'll have a fire in your hands on both ends of it. But if you're not, they might beat you 4 or 5-1. So that's where the Maple Leafs, it's always curious to see if they want to be committed to that, because when it comes to that element of a game, sometimes it's a crapshoot to see if they want to commit to it.
We're chatting with Jeff O'Neill, co-host of Overdrive, going to be on the panel tonight with the Leafs taking on the Penguins. And yesterday, more bigger picture thing here, the general manager at least came out, Kyle Dubas, and said essentially Jake Muzzin won't be available for the team for a while. He'll be reevaluated in February. And instead of making a move right away, he's going to allow Liljegren and Sandin to maybe see if they can fill some roles internally, also with TJ Brody out. I mean, do you have belief that either those two players could be top four defensemen for this club this season, or do you think that Kyle Dubas needs to start working the phones here at some point to help that blue line out?
As of right now, no. They are not capable of doing that. They've proven it. They prove it every time they go out on the ice. They've proven right now that they are not three or four defensemen. Could they be that after playing 300 or 400 games in the league? Maybe they could, but I don't know if Kyle Dubas has that much time. I don't know if anybody has that much time, because that's kind of the number people look at to see if someone's kind of, you know, so they say made it, or is that kind of player. But right now they're not. They're too loose. They give up too much, and they're not dependable enough. Sure, they skate well, and they handle the puck, and they do some good things sometimes, but it's just not consistent enough in that league to be that right now. So I don't know if Kyle has 300 or 400 games to wait to see if they can become that. But if you're asking me if they're that right now, there's just not in that league. No way.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. We're sitting there looking at each other to see who's going to see the next question there. But I agree with you, honestly, on that one. I think they do have to make a move at some point here, just whether or not it happens in the next week or so.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we'll see what happens there. You got a big night ahead of you today. Get yourself a rest. By the way, what'd you have for lunch there? Did you have a chicken parm? Please tell me it was a chicken parm.
Buddy, I went on a diet, and my dietitian told me that if I ever look at a piece of chicken parm or potato chips or any kind of garbage like that, he would punch me right in the face when I'm not looking.
I need a nutritionist like that. That will hit me in the face if I go off the rails.
Well, he gave me the heart to heart, and he's like, "You want to be serious about this? It's just the joke's over. The joke is over."
Yeah, I feel like I should take the same approach there. Tell him where I'm at. He can come punch me in the face, too. Appreciate it. Going to be fun tonight, man. I'm looking forward to it. Should be really, really enjoyable for a lot of the Overdrive fans to see you guys on the panel. I can't wait to see the type of OD spin you guys put on it. Should be a lot of fun, pal. Can't wait to check you out later.
All right, kids. Have a great day.
All right, there he goes. The O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Catch him. Not on Overdrive tonight, but on the TSN Leafs panel alongside Jamie Noodles McLennan and Brian Hayes. Should be, and Darren Dreger. Let's not forget, Dregs is going to be there too as the babysitter to make sure things don't go off the rails. Should be a real entertaining show.
Yeah, should be great.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to rip through this. See, that's why I thought we were breaking, because you got to get through your school of D-Gen, man.
I know I do. So let's get right through it that we got going on today. So the Maple Leafs are favored to win this game, which I was a little surprised to see, actually, the fact that they were favored based on what happened in the last game and the fact that the Leafs have lost 6 of their last 8 games in Pittsburgh. But I'm not looking at playing a side or a total tonight. I like the prop market. I think the Leafs, they come out, they would need to be on fire to start this game. A good start is what they need.
Yep.
So I like for them, first to 5 shots in the opening 10 minutes, paying plus 130. And when you look at the Penguins, they're giving up 34 shots a game. So I think that's something that the Leafs can definitely get to. Mitch Marner, being one of those guys taking shots, take the over 2.5, paying 125. He has gone over that number in 4 straight games. And then Gino Malkin, Malkin, the future Hall of Famer, to score a goal tonight, paying plus 190. He's a Leaf killer. Scored in the last games, got 24 goals and 67 points in 41 games against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I would assume that he's going to have himself another pretty big night here for the Maple Leafs. So those are a couple that I like. The Air Canada Fan Flight Contest with TSN 1050 is your chance to see the Maple Leafs in Nashville this season. Listen to First Up every weekday for the Fan Flight Keyword of the Day. If you hear it, be sure to tune in to Overdrive that same day. When you hear the cue to call, the first caller through at 416-870-1050 with the correct keyword wins a Google Nest Mini and qualifies for the grand prize draw, an Air Canada Fan Flight trip for 4 to Nashville to see the Maple Leafs in action. For full contest details, head to tsn1050.ca. That does it for you and I, JT. Enjoy the game tonight on TSN 1050, Leafs in Pittsburgh. If you missed any of today's show, you can find it on tsn1050.ca, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano for Julia Tesheri. You can listen to Leafs Lunch, gameplay with Matt Cause next.